Okay, I guess we're just gonna do this on the phone.
Don't take any more of your time.
Yeah. Here, I will actually just hold it. So if you wouldn't mind starting.
My name is Ben Barnes. I served in the Texas House of Representatives from 1961 to 1969. I served as Speaker from 1965 to 1969.
Wonderful. Would you start out by telling us your background prior to working in the House, and in particular, what got you excited about working in politics in the House of Representatives?
I got elected to the Texas House of Representatives when I was barely 22 years old. I was 22 in April, and I got elected in May. So I was the youngest House member. And I had not planned to enter in politics. I had not studied or dreamed of being in politics, but I became a whistleblower at a state agency where that I was working, where that there was a misallocation of some employees' funds. And I came to the legislature, told the chairman of the Appropriations Committee about the problem, and as a result, the Commissioner of Health and his assistants had to resign and make restitution of the state employees' money that they had spent on themselves. And so I had to come to the Capitol several times, and in my trips up here, it sparked a great deal of interest, and I had not spent a lot of time in the Capitol. I've been here as a tourist, but you know, it's a really nice building, beautiful trees. And so I was kind of a Don Quixote at 21 years old. I believed that it was possible for me to do it. And probably a high school English teacher named Lucille Dew had more influence on me. She was not in politics. She voted, but she had a lot of impact on my life because she taught me English literature. And when I was in the senior in high school, we got our literature book assignment, and all the class had to read The Egyptian. And so I read The Egyptian because I got the flu, and I read it barely, and I went to Ms. Duke and I said, I'd like to give my report, Ms. Duke. I went through the book. She said, no, you're not going to report on The Egyptian. You're going to read this book, Ben. And so she reached down in her drawer and she pulled out Victor Hugo's Les Miserables. And I read Victor Hugo's Les Miserables, and it made a big impact on me of what those French students did in the streets in the French Revolution. So I became a little bit of an idealist about the impact that young people could have in politics. I foolishly ran and was very fortunate to win, and I went on to become Speaker of the House when I was just 26 years old, and then Lieutenant Governor when I was 30. So I think that my accomplishments have been few and been very meager in what I've done for the state, but I think that my political career can be an encouragement or an example to young people that you're never too young to have an impact, and you're never too young to run for office if you want to run for office. We need more young people to run for office. I thoroughly enjoyed my tenure in the House, and I was around in a very exciting time. Johnson was president, the terrible assassination of Jack Kennedy, whose trip I advanced to Texas, my election to Speaker at such a young age, the things we were doing, the legislation we were passing. Texas was becoming very competitive. We were changing from an agricultural state to an industrial state, high tech, higher education, research and development money, all of the things that was the motivated the economic engine of Texas. It was a time of change, a time of excitement, and I enjoyed it very much.
Of the accomplishments that you alluded to earlier, and besides being elected so young, is there anything that you're particularly proud of?
I'm very proud of what happened in higher education. We increased the amount of money going into higher education's budget by 300% in just 4 years' time. We increased the amount of money that was going into research and development at the University of Texas and Texas A&M and other colleges and universities by 1,800% in just 4 years' time. Our faculty salaries became competitive with faculty salaries throughout the United States, so we could recruit some of the great minds to leave Stanford and leave Harvard and Yale and to come to Texas to teach and do research and to benefit our young people. So I think probably that there were a lot of things that were done. A lot of legislation was passed. It was a time when we passed legislation. We weren't killing legislation. It was a time of positive action. Every single session I served as a House member and as a speaker Speaker of the House and Lieutenant Governor, we passed a tax bill every single session. We did it because Texas was growing. We were the second largest, or third largest state in population, then the second largest. But we had a very low tax per capita and a low tax base, and so the legislature, with the support of the taxpayers and people of Texas, supported legislation, and we created the Texas Water Development Board. We created our environmental agency. We created the Texas Tourist Development Commission. We did things that were very important as Texas changed its face and what it put its flag a little higher up on the flagpole. And all of a sudden, we were no longer just a southern, slow, conservative state like Mississippi and Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas. We were like North Carolina. We were like a lot of the northeastern states. And our colleges and universities were competitive with the great learning centers in America. So it was an exciting time. And I'm proud of all of the change that took place and the growth. And I think that probably what we did in the 60s and 70s was the real foundation for Austin becoming such a high-tech center, for our colleges and universities to be competitive, for a lot of things to happen in Texas that would not have happened if we not made the investment, not spent money unwisely, but if we not made the investment in public education, higher education, Texas would not be where it is today. There's a lot more work to be done, and we're slipping backwards right now, and I'm not happy at all about some of the things that are happening in our state, because we're very foolishly telling people that we can cut the size of government, we can cut spending, and what we're doing is we're living in a very selfish time where we're not thinking about our children and our grandchildren. And as I've gotten older and I look at my grandchildren, look at their education and see what the things that they've been able to accomplish, they're so much brighter and more able than I ever was, and they have such great futures. But we've got to give them the tools, and we've got to give them the encouragement, and we've got to set the example. I don't want Texas to be a place that says no to young people. I don't want Texas to be a place that says no to Hispanics, or no to blacks, or no to any minority. I want Texas to be a place where everyone's welcome. We're going to use the talents, the intelligence, and the life's treasures of every single citizen, and we're going to have the most productive state in the United States. But that's only when you put all the human resources that you have at a state exist and put them on the same team pulling together.
Could you contrast your experiences working in the House and in the Senate as Lieutenant Governor and Speaker?
Well, the House is bigger. There's more people that you have to talk to, mm-hmm. and that's intended that way, the people that wrote our Constitution. The Senate, we had the two-thirds rule in, so the Senate moved slower. You had to get 21 senators to be able to pass a bill. But the unique system that we have in Texas, where the Speaker and the Lieutenant Governor have almost equal power as far as the budget's concerned, there was not a great deal more difference, except that you could, in the Senate, you only had 21 senators you had to get for your program. In the House, you had to have 76, 78, 79 members of the House, so it took a little bit more time to talk to. But I tried to see every House member at least every 2 weeks when I was Speaker. I made a point to, and I really did something a little different. I tried to go to the members' office. I didn't have them to come to the Speaker's office. I wanted to go visit them in their offices and see what they were doing, what they needed. It worked out well.
It sounds like you have a lot of advice for current members. Is there anything that you would advise freshman members in particular?
I would advise freshman members of both parties that represent your district. Don't represent the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. They're very important. Political parties are important. But I want people to, because of redistricting, and because that so many seats are safe Republican seats or safe Democratic seats, mm-hmm. that people are only in danger of getting beaten in the primary, where if they don't satisfy their political base, someone runs against them and beats them. There are very few people can get beat in a general election. But I tell you what's wrong with the Texas legislature, and it's wrong with the United States Congress. People are spending too much time representing their political parties and the platforms of those parties than are representing their districts. If people can go and as I did in the three counties that I got elected, I knocked on every single door. I had a map that had every house on it. And I had a red pencil. When I went to that house and knocked on that door, I put a red X over that house. And I went to see everyone, and that's how I got elected. And if people would go back to their districts and talk to the people at the corner drugstore, talk to the people at the farm implement store, talk to the superintendent, talk to the nurses at the hospital, talk to the people that are driving the trucks, talk to the waitresses at the Dairy Queens. If they'll go back and talk to their constituents and ask them how they feel, I will never have anything but respect for a member of the Texas House if I think they're representing their district. I lose respect and I lose patience when I think people are representing political parties in a very narrow base and we're spending the valuable time. We only have 140 days in the sessions, and we spend way too much time on emotional issues and issues that are hot buttons for the parties that can raise money and generate support to get people going to the primary. I only get real angry at public officials. I have no right to do that, but I'm old now, so I guess if you get to be old, you do anything. But I get mad at people when I think that they're not putting Texas first.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for answering our questions. And
I didn't mean to make a speech.
No, that was great.